Sam's going to bring us our first reading now, which is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, a well-known passage.
Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 19. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith he was commended as righteous, when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things they promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death.
Jenny's going to bring our second reading now, which you can find in James chapter 2.
So James chapter 2, reading from verse 14 to 26. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds." Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead.
If I was picking a title for the talk this morning, it would probably be Grace, Faith and Works. Or maybe I might say, by grace, faith works. It's one of those kind of tensions that you find in Scripture, where on one hand, there's a great weight of emphasis on the fact that we can't do anything to save ourselves. It is only through what Jesus has done, by grace, we have been saved. And that is absolutely right, isn't it? There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. We are completely and utterly dependent on what Jesus did and continues to do. But on the other hand, there's also a weight of Scripture that says, here, if you claim to be saved, it should be noticeable. Because that's what James is really talking about here. It's no good people saying, oh, well, you know, I've got faith, and just carrying on as though nothing had changed. We expect to see some difference. That hymn that we started with, verse 1, we have the phrase, born of his spirit. Born of his spirit. If we are born of God's Spirit, then there will be change in us, because the Holy Spirit works in us to bring about change. Washed in his blood, there's the grace. There's the grace. And then a phrase repeated in verses 2 and 3, perfect submission. Perfect submission. That's what God is looking for. Fall in us, isn't it? He is looking for us to come under his direction, under his will, submit perfectly to what he wants for us. We struggle with that, don't we? Jesus said in John chapter 14, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. And as Jenny just read a part of that passage from James, show me your faith without deeds. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. If we have faith, its outworking should be in righteousness. The actions should be righteous. And then we can be called God's friend, just like Abraham. So deeds are an expression of our relationship with God. What kind of deeds are we talking about? You know, you see some folk who, it seems, have to kind of heap up works on the kind of scales before they tip the balance into a position where they feel secure that they're going to be welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. And it's not so. But, you know, there are people who just seem to need to be doing, because otherwise they don't feel secure in their faith. But whilst we're not trying to heap works on a set of scales, there are deeds that we are called to do. And there are things that we are called to be. So, for instance, Jesus quoted Hosea when he said, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." It's not kind of doing religious things that God is after. They have their place. But we could say, it's no good coming along on a Sunday morning and singing hymns if then we mistreat people on the other days of the week. God is expecting of us to show the love of Jesus. That kind of love that Jesus illustrated in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Because he was asked, you know, who is my neighbour? That great commandment, you know, love your neighbour as yourself. Who is my neighbour? And Jesus, as an illustration, said, the person that naturally you don't like, that naturally you think is your enemy. Yes, we are called to express our faith in the way we live, the things we do, the people we are. And I pray that through that, others who as yet don't know Jesus will say, what's different about that person? I wonder what makes them tick, because actually, I think it's pretty good. Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, didn't he, that his children, the church, would be one as he and the Father are one. We see far too much a lack of that oneness in the church. But we can help to change that by the way we approach one another, the way we approach folk that we know are Christians in other congregations, maybe with some slightly different thoughts about scripture, setting aside the fundamentals. There's lots of nuances, isn't there, in the way different churches worship, in the understanding of some of the things that Jesus said and Paul said and Peter said. And let's be honest, we don't know it all yet, do we? So we need to be humble towards one another. But at the same time, we do need to be ready to say, well, hang on, are you sure that's right? Because doesn't it say, I'm not talking about chucking out the truth in order to try and get along nicely, but I am talking about having a humble attitude to one another, treating one another in the way that the Good Samaritan treated the one who theoretically was his enemy. Jesus wants our faith to be expressed in the way we live. But back to that contrast, good works is no substitute. Religiosity definitely isn't a substitute. Going to church will not save someone. Going to church helps us to grow, to encourage one another, to worship God together corporately. It's a great thing to do. But of itself, going to church will not save someone. It's about relationship with Jesus. It is through grace that we are saved. And our failures, our failure to live life in the way that Jesus shows us. Because so often we do slip up, don't we? We fail to do things that God is calling us to do. We fail to speak the things he wants us to speak. We fail to show the love that he wants us to show. But when we do that, our failures are covered by his grace. All we need to do is come back to him and saying, Lord, I failed again. But I know that through your grace, I can be changed. And I can begin to do the deeds that you call for as an expression of my faith. It's our relationship with him that counts, and we must endure to the end. When you set out this kind of tension sometimes, and we read scriptures about God's commands, what he wants us to do, who he wants us to be, it can be quite easy to start to think, oh crumbs, I'm not good enough. Am I really a Christian? You sometimes hear people express that question, whether they are actually saved, because they see that they're falling short. And it's so important not to allow Satan to get in there and bring in those doubts. By grace we have been saved, and then because we are saved, because we love Jesus, we will do the kind of works that he calls us to do. Yes, sometimes we will fall short, but that is why we needed Jesus to die on the cross for us, isn't it? If we could be good enough, if we could do all those things perfectly, Jesus wouldn't have needed to die. So we need to rest in the fact that Jesus has accomplished it all. In that respect, we can sit back and just say, Lord, thank you. In that sense, I don't need to do anything. You've done it all. And then, out of gratitude and love, we say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? How do you want me to be? Would you change me by your Holy Spirit to be more like you, to show the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control? They come to us through the work of the Spirit. We just need to open ourselves and realise that, no, in our own strength we can't be like that. We can have a bit of a go, but it is the Holy Spirit who will achieve those things in us if we allow him, if we seek him, if we focus our efforts on knowing Jesus moment by moment. Paul said to pray constantly. I don't actually think that means, you know, we're bringing our requests or whatever it is all the time. We have to think about other things, don't we? No, it means that we should be at all times in communication with our Lord and Saviour through the Holy Spirit, so that we are always, as it were, in conversation with him, that we are open to hear him and just to speak to him as we're doing things at work or at home, whether it's cooking or doing a set of accounts or doing the washing. You know, there are moments in there when we can just, sometimes it's a question of asking for a bit of help. Jesus wants to be involved. This is not flippant. Jesus wants to be involved in the day-to-day things that we do. So if you're having a bit of trouble with the baking, ask him. Why is that not just too menial a thing to ask him? Well, because it builds our relationship with him. If we relate to him on those little things, we will come to know him in such a way that when he calls of us to do something which to us seems a bigger thing, we'll be in touch with him, we'll be in tune with the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to hear what he is saying to us. We'll know when he is saying to us, just pray for that person you've met on the street. Yeah, let's spend our lives continually in touch with Jesus, knowing that we are saved, and because we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit. As the hymn writer said, born of his Spirit. And knowing that, we can trust that he will change us from one degree of glory to another. He says he will. It's a promise. So let us not get caught out and have those times when we think, oh, I'm not good enough. No, it's fine. You're not good enough. Neither am I. That's a relief, actually. It's a relief, isn't it? You know, when you know you can't personally come up to the standard, knowing that you don't have to, is a huge weight off the shoulders. By grace we have been saved. By grace we will be changed. And by grace we will be received by him into heaven. And at the last judgment, he will say to us, my friend. There's a song by Graham Kendrick, which I'm just going to read rather than sing. Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. Not by our human endeavour, but by the blood of the Lamb. Into your presence you call us. You call us to come. Into your presence you draw us. And now by your grace we come. Now by your grace we come. Lord, if you mark our transgressions, who would stand? Thanks to your grace we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. So let us stand on the rock that is Jesus, and let us be encouraged, knowing that the Holy Spirit is at work in us, will change us, and that Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, is right here with us every moment of the day. And if we are not knowing his presence, it's because we're not turning to him. Sometimes you have to work at that, but it's worth it. It's worth it.